Father, I thank you that you have given me this teaching, and I pray that only your words will come forth and that it won't be of me at all. None of my words need to live at all, but only your word lives. You are the living word, and we thank you and we praise you that you're working in all of our lives and you're preparing us to be in your eternal congregation. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless this teaching, that it will penetrate the hearts and minds of all who hear it. In Yeshua's name, amen. This is going to be a concepts teaching, focusing on the kingdom foundation of Yahweh's temples, not about the details and symbolism of the construction and furnishings. Now, while these help our understanding, they don't answer the why questions. Why is there a temple? What is its function? Do we even need it? Was it done away? Why or why not? What is the role of the people in Yahweh's temple? These are the questions that Yahweh has given me to answer. Yahweh's temple system has foundational priesthoods in the Melchizedek and Levitical orders, and each of us have roles in each of these, whether it be to govern us or to be governed. So before I start, I want you to know that I won't read most of the scriptures listed in this teaching. We would be here too long if I did that. Rather, I will give the scriptures so that you can be a Berean and study them once this transcript is posted. The first and most basic point is that Yahweh did not build or have his people build a singular, unique tabernacle or temple. Rather, he built a temple system, starting with the heavenly temple. You know, we didn't have anything to do with building the heavenly temple, the function of which is to draw all attention to his kingdom in both the heavenly and natural realms. Understanding this concept will help us to know the purpose behind building the tabernacle, the later stone temples, and the temple built without hands. Understanding this concept will help us grasp our role in Yahweh's kingdom as well. Yahweh's temple system, for he is the one who designed it, includes the heavenly temple, the earthly tabernacle, followed by four stone temples built in succession over time within the confines of a city. And indeed, there were actually two tabernacles. And then we also have the coming city, in which is no separate temple. And we have the people within which the Holy Spirit dwells. All of these comprise the temple system. What is the purpose of the temple system? Well, these are the areas of Yahweh's government and his administration. Shall we say that these are his federal buildings? Can we understand it in this context? The kingdom of Yahweh is a monarchy, ruling from a throne housed inside his quote-unquote federal buildings, some that were built in cloth and stone and some built in with no hands. And in this is a throne within the heavenly temple, one inside the earthly structures, and one in each heart of his people. The tabernacle and the temples were designed for the order of Melchizedek. This is a hard thing for people to understand, that it was actually the kingdom started as the order of Melchizedek. And we're going to see why that did not happen. But the temples were designed for the order of Melchizedek, for the order of the King of Righteousness. An order, let me explain what this is. An order is a king's select group of people who, by the king's decree, have qualified to be part of his elite group. Qualification for an order of any kind is achieved by living up to a higher standard of conduct, and it is a high honor for the patriarchs and Israel to have been selected from the entire earth for this. An order is designed to be a role model of higher behavior for those who are not yet part of the order. Anyone who achieves the high standard of behavior can become an elite member of the order. For Israelites, the prerequisite is to believe God like Abraham did, who believed in the coming Messiah in his time. Now, the prerequisite is to believe in the Messiah who came. This, then, is to be followed by behavior becoming a citizen of the kingdom. The Torah portion is the start of Yahweh ordaining Israel into the order of Melchizedek with Aaron as its earthly high priest, counterpart to Yeshua as the heavenly high priest. Just as the tabernacle and temples were built from the pattern, the tabnit, that's the Hebrew word for pattern, as earthly types of the heavenly temple, so is the associated priestly order of Melchizedek, which has a heavenly original high priest, which is Yeshua, upon which the earthly type is patterned. Exodus 25:9 says, according to all that I show you, the pattern, the tabnit of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all its furniture, even so you shall make it. So the word for pattern is tabnit. The tabernacle marked the establishment of the kingdom of Israel on the earth. The priestly order requires an official physical structure from which to function and minister to not only the Israelites, but to the world. Having the law of the covenant alone is not enough. It must be administered through a central locale with a priestly line chosen by Yahweh. This ministration is not enough, though, on its own. It has an additional purpose, which is for the king to dwell with us and rule over us from his throne, which we find referenced in chapter 25, verse 22. The children of Israel were given a requirement from Yahweh to build and maintain his dwelling from generation to generation. Exodus 25:8 says, and let them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. The Mikdash sanctuary will be Yahweh's Shekinah, earthly dwelling place, in addition to his heavenly dwelling where he will live with his people on earth as their ever-present king. That's what the earthly dwelling place is for. But it isn't until we get to Exodus 27:21 that we find out Yahweh's dwelling place on earth is intended to be eternal. It's not in this week's Torah portion, but I'm going to read the first two verses of next week's in Exodus 27:20 and 21. And you shall command the sons of Israel that they bring you pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation outside the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before Yahweh. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the sons of Israel. Yahweh intends to dwell among his people by inhabiting three places: his heavenly temple, the tabernacle and its subsequent temples, and the beings, the hearts and minds of his people. This last dwelling place was already thwarted by the people backing away from the mountain and his voice. Nonetheless, throughout the earth's history, Yahweh has maintained his earthly presence through at least one of the earthly temple types at all times, either stone structures and people, or no stone structure but with people. The earth has never been and never will be devoid of his presence and evidence of his ownership because of this temple system designed by Yahweh. Ultimately, he will restore to the earth the entire temple system with a standing structure on the earth and through its people. Now we're going to talk about the history of the earthly temple structures. After 440 years of service to the people, the tabernacle of Moses was joined by a second tabernacle built by King David to house the ark upon its arrival back to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel 6:17. The tabernacle of Moses was later brought to Jerusalem by King Solomon so its furnishings could be used in the temple in 1 Kings 8:4. Scripture does not say, but we can assume that Yahweh's presence filled both tabernacles because each had its own operating priesthood. This shows us that This shows us that Yahweh is capable of putting his spirit wherever he wants, in as many places as he wants. The idea for Yahweh to have a so-called better house was King David's in 2 Samuel 7 verses 4 to 7 that says, "And that night the word of Yahweh came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, so says Yahweh, shall you build me a house for my dwelling? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up the sons of Israel out of Egypt to this day, but have walked in a tent, even in a tabernacle.'" You know, that's very fascinating language there that I'm not going to go over right now, but he walked in a tent. Isn't that interesting? "In all places in which I have walked with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the tribes of Israel, those I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, 'Why do you not build me a house of cedars?'" So that's, Yahweh is not saying here that he doesn't want a house. Some people think God is telling David through Nathan, after David asked Yahweh to let him build a house, that, you know, he did not want a temple when David proposed it. Instead of this being a rejection by Yahweh, I view it as a tender and affectionate response, in the same way that a wife would be sentimental over her husband bringing her flowers. "Oh, for me? Really? And I didn't even ask you." Then Yahweh proceeded to tell David that he would not be the one to build the temple, but his son would. David was also told that Yahweh would establish David's house and his throne forever in 2 Samuel 7:16, because of his desire to give Yahweh the gift of a permanent Mishkan and dwelling place, Shakan. David got the idea for this from someplace. The Bible doesn't tell us what process was going on in his mind, but we can safely assume that Yahweh laid the building of a permanent structure on David's heart. Yahweh did not lay it on the hearts of the priests to build the temple, according to 2 Samuel 7:7. Why did Yahweh now, though, want a permanent structure? It's because the place of his name was now established, and that place is Jerusalem. And it was David who established Jerusalem. So in David's mind, it follows that David would be the one to build the permanent structure, Jerusalem being the city that bears Yahweh's name and his authority. So 480 years after the Exodus from Egypt, in which the tabernacle was built, there was a temple built. Even without the mobile tabernacle, however, Yahweh still has and always has had a mobile structure functioning, and it functions to this day. And I'm going to explain later how this mobile structure is still functioning to this day. The first temple stood for 410 to 420 years, depending on who you read or listen to, until the Babylonians destroyed it in 586 BC. And the Jews returned to it after 70 years to rebuild the second temple on the ruins of the first. But the second temple was destroyed in 68 or 70 AD, according to how you do the numbers and who you listen to. And there has never been a functioning temple in Jerusalem since, to this day. We now await a third temple, and there are those who believe it will never be built. However, Paul prophesied that the Antichrist would go into the temple and sit on its throne to impersonate God. He said that in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. This prophecy has not yet been fulfilled. Another theory says that the temple in which the Antichrist will sit is Ezekiel's temple. However, Ezekiel's temple will be built by the one called Prince and Messiah in Zechariah 6, 12 and 13, Ezekiel 44, 3, and throughout Ezekiel 46. Zechariah 6, 15 says that distant ones will come and help to build the temple of the one called the Branch. All 12 tribes of the ingathered will have a hand in building Ezekiel's temple under the guidance of the one called Branch, the one that we know is Yeshua, our Messiah. He is our King and our God. Thus, the coming Jewish temple will not fulfill these requirements, leaving Ezekiel's temple to be the fourth one built. Yahweh's glory, which is Yeshua, in John 12:23, will inhabit Ezekiel's temple. We read about this from Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. This temple will rule the earth during the seventh millennium from Jerusalem, after which will come the city of New Jerusalem, which will have no interior temple. Revelation 21:22 says, I saw no temple in it, the city, for the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, the Almighty, El Shaddai, and the Lamb, Yeshua, are its temple. So far in history, we have had two tabernacles and two temples, with two more temples to come before the New Jerusalem comes. Why will there be no temple structure inside New Jerusalem? New Jerusalem is the replacement city for the old Jerusalem city, and the temple of the new city is not a structure built with hands. That temple literally is El Shaddai, God Almighty, and the Lamb of God, Yeshua. This is a conundrum to us right now, but perhaps when we finish the next section on the type of temple made without hand, we will understand more. Earlier I said Yeshua still has and will continue to have a mobile temple. This temple is the body of Yeshua, and it more closely is associated with being a tabernacle. Yahweh intended to have a temple system, which is a government headquarters administered and maintained by priests. We, the body, are part of that system, and perhaps the most important part of all, except for the Father and the Son. The kingdom of Yahweh is a government, and governments are systems requiring buildings from which to operate. Any government on the earth that might suffer the loss of its official buildings can still be a government. Why? Because the buildings are not primary to a government. The people and the land are. We, the people, are part of Yahweh's building program. And as such, our individual beings, hearts and minds, experience the same filling as did the earthly built structures, the tabernacle and later the temple, Exodus 40:34. And the cloud covered the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle of the congregation because the cloud stayed on it, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. 1 Kings 8:10-11. It came to pass, when the priests had come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled Yahweh's house, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for Yahweh's glory filled Yahweh's house. So Yahweh is here calling it Yahweh's house, and this is at the inauguration of the first temple under Solomon. The first attempted filling of the people by the Holy Spirit was at Mount Sinai, but the people backed away from the mountain and Yahweh's voice. This has caused confusion about Yahweh's temple system in his people between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion in Acts 2, then ever since the second temple was destroyed in 68 or 70 AD, there have been those who believe the temple's destruction was God's way of telling his people we no longer need an earthly temple. They just don't understand the temple system. People have viewed the earthly temples as unnecessarily. Those who do not understand that Yahweh's system involves filling his government building with his ruling presence and simultaneously filling his people with his spirit teach wrong doctrine about the temple. They say things like, Yahweh only needed a temple because of Israel's sins. Yahweh never wanted a temple, but let David's legacy have one through Solomon. Yahweh destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD because he had filled his people with his spirit, and we no longer need a temple. There will never be a temple again. and such like. They do not understand the government of the kingdom of Israel set up by Yahweh before the foundation of the world, and that his people and the world are served from a temple system. This temple system includes both the external structures, the buildings, and the internal indwelling of his people. And he fills both. All of the temple system seems external to us. The appearance of externality, though, is only a delusion. What we must come to understand and have a paradigm shift over is that it is all a unit of earthly tabernacles and temples. We literally are temples. Those tabernacles and temples literally are us. And through them, we learn Yahweh's ways, and we do Yahweh's ways. The structure of the buildings, which are based on the human body, the furnishings within, which are based on the human psyche, and the rituals teach us about Yahweh's kingdom and ourselves as his people. Even in eternity, there will be a temple, albeit one made without hands. So there are these debates within Christianity about whether we need the external temple and whether individuals are Yahweh's temple or if it is the congregation that is his temple. The earthly tabernacles and temple can change form and even disappear from time to time. But Yahweh will always have his temple in one or another form, spirit-filled humans. The tabernacle changed from its form to the stone temple. The stone temple disappeared for 2,000 years, with two more to come. The earthly temples built from earthly elements may go away, but the system under which his government operates cannot and will not go away because Yahweh still has his heavenly temple and his people from the time of Adam forward. We, listening to this today, are simply part of another form from within the system, the human form of the temple, the one made without hands. There were many issues that were solved with Yeshua's death and resurrection. One of those was to finally obtain a people to accept his spirit rather than backing away from him. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, "Don't you know that you are a temple of God and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, which you are." Now, people use this to claim that Paul said Yahweh did away with the physical temple by making his people his temple instead. There is no instead in Yahweh's temple system. There is only the various forms that his temples take. But Paul wrote this before 68 AD. The temple in Jerusalem was still standing when Paul wrote this, and he draws the association between the standing Jerusalem temple and the spirit-filled human temple when he says, "If anyone destroys God's temple," meaning the one standing in Jerusalem, "God will destroy him." And then Paul says, "God's temple is holy, which you are," drawing the interconnection between the Jerusalem temple and the human one. Paul followed the Torah. He was in the habit of attending the feasts and doing other sacrifices in the temple. Furthermore, What authority would Paul have to do such a thing as to get rid of Yahweh's temple system? For Paul to have taught that, he would have needed to hear directly from Yahweh this momentous instruction. Nowhere did Paul say he heard from Yahweh that the earthly temple needed to be destroyed. If anything, Paul upheld the temple in 1 Corinthians 3:17 and in all the times that he visited it. If Paul had believed it needed to be destroyed, he would not have continued going there for the rest of his life until he was imprisoned in Rome. Another fallacy taught by those who do not understand Yahweh's temple system is that Paul said individuals are all temples, is all what the temple boils down to. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 is not saying each individual person is a temple unto itself, but rather that the collective body of infilled believers, the global congregation, is the human form and counterpart temple to the heavenly and earthly temples. You see, there is an interconnection and interdependency of all three forms within Yahweh's temple system. The Greek word for you in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 is este, and it is in the second person plural present form. It is you plural. You plural is the body of believers. Yahweh inhabits his people. Another Greek word for you in these verses is humin, according to the King James Version Plus. The Apostolic Bible Polyglot with Strong's Numbers, the ABP Plus, has the same word as ego in place of the King James's humin, but they both arrive at the same conclusion. You, humin, or ego here is singular. Now we are getting to the minute details about the human form of Yahweh's temple system. Paul is telling us it is both. He uses both the plural you for the congregation and the singular you for the individual. The congregation collectively is Yahweh's human temple or tabernacle, and each human is also a temple or tabernacle within this construct. Thus, if Yahweh should lose all but one individual from this system, he will still have a human form of his temple system. You see how awesome that is? Let me summarize what we know so far. We have the eternal heavenly temple, the two tabernacles, the four earthly stone structures, the New Jerusalem, the congregation, and now the individual that is a temple in Yahweh's temple system. That is 10 temple constructs within the temple system. That's interesting in light of the importance of the number 10 in Scripture. Yeshua even claimed himself as an individual temple form and counterpart to the standing stone temple. Mark 14:58. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. And in John 2:19 we read, Yeshua answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was drawing the connection between himself and the temple while speaking with the Jews. He was also talking about his body raising to immortality. And this will be the state of his congregation made up of individuals in the future. We will each be immortal, and his congregation then will be immortal as well. The resurrection will raise a congregation, a temple made without hands of immortals like him who will serve the Ezekiel stone temple for 1,000 years until the New Jerusalem comes at the end of the age from Revelation 21:22. Yahweh did not have humans to become his temple because the earthly temples fell. The mandate has always been the same for his people and for the earthly temples. He intended to fill his people and his tabernacle at Mount Sinai. For Yahweh, it has never been one or the other, earthly temple structures versus infilled humans. It has always been both. This is the reason Moses indexed or connected the congregation to Yahweh's altar in Exodus 24:8. His altar, which operates within his temple system, and his people are the same thing as far as he is concerned. Both are simply different forms of his earthly temple. Don't think that the Holy Spirit did not indwell people before Yeshua came. People who wanted to be filled with his Spirit were filled with his Spirit before Yeshua was born. Exodus 28:3, "You shall speak to those who are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to sanctify him, that he may minister to me in the priest's office." There were and always have been people filled with the Spirit for the purpose of doing Yahweh's will from the beginning with Adam and from that first generation. Yahweh simply fulfilled in the second generation in Acts 2:4 what he attempted to do in Exodus 20, verses 18 to 21. Same operation, same purpose, to do his will, not our own. That is the purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit. When we accept Yeshua in our lives, we are accepting the entire kingdom with its king, his law, and its governing systems as authority in our lives. We must realize that we now belong to a government with an eternality in place, in an eternal system that does things a certain way. You know, if we want to do things another way, there is another rival system on the earth that belongs to Satan. Those who prefer that can join it. There is no in between. People will choose one or the other system. To keep ourselves in Yahweh's system, we must do what Yahweh says. In speaking about what we do in the body, which we should not be doing, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." Let me introduce the word micro-temple to you. A micro-temple is a form of and counterpart to the macro-temple. Infilled individuals are micro-temples in Yahweh's temple system. What we do in our bodies affects not only our individual temple, but the entire system. Yahweh has a problem when it comes to people. He chose the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but we turned out to be rebellious, goat-like people rather than obedient, sheep-like ones. Israelites defiled the entire temple system through their rebellions. Sin does not simply defile the individual. Sin defiles everything. The heavenly temple, which Yeshua has now cleansed with his own blood in Hebrews 9:22-28, the earthly altar, which has to be atoned for every year at Yom Kippur in Leviticus 23:26-32, and which, by the way, also cleanses the people who are what? A form of the temple before Yahweh. One sin among the people of the congregation defiles the whole congregation and the whole temple system. That's what the Day of Atonement is for, as described in Exodus 29:36-37, Leviticus 8:34, Leviticus 16:30, and 23:27-28, Leviticus 25:9, and Numbers 6:11. Furthermore, Adam's sin defiled all humanity, according to Romans 5:14, and humanity defiles the whole earth, according to Romans 8:22. For that cleansing, we need Yeshua's blood to wash us. The word in 1 Corinthians 6:19, where he says, your, as in your body, is not a plural form. Paul is now speaking to individual behavior within the system. It is our duty to the kingdom to prevent the defilement of the system. We don't often talk about duty, do we? Yeshua is himself a temple to Yahweh, as we know from John 2:19. We are in his image and thus also are individual temples, micro temples within the macro temple system. We do not stand alone apart from Yeshua or each other. And I'm going to go out here on a limb and make a comment that I was going to make in the Midrash, which is, Yahweh talking about the curtains being made in such a way and being connected so that they are echad, a unit. That is the purpose of the entire kingdom, that we are echad. And Yahweh's name is not on us just individually, alone, as some claim. Aaron was instructed to put Yahweh's name on the congregation, not on individuals. However, in order for Yahweh to have a body, plural, to be his living temple, he requires every individual to be filled with his spirit. There can be none among his people that do not have the Holy Spirit in them individually. Every individual must be filled to create a unified body, a congregation that is Yahweh's human temple made without hands. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Again, the word your here is the Greek humin, the genitive singular form, pointing to the fact that we are God's in our entirety. He bought us and we belong to him now. The kingdom is comprised of individuals who have bodies in which they can sin or not sin. But Yahweh is looking for those individuals who do not sin or who do not desire to sin so he can have a congregation, a unified, echad body of believers to be his human temple made without hands. As you can see, Yahweh's temple system has many layers and many aspects to it. This is not a simple matter, yet when we view it all from the point of unity, it is simple. It's one great big interdependent, interconnected, mutually beneficial, complete and relational system wherein nothing can be missing without the system being damaged. This system is provided to us by Yahweh himself so that humans can benefit from his presence on earth. And Yahweh also benefits from this system because through Israel, through us, he can reach the world and save people from utter destruction. Now, why is there not going to be a temple in the New Jerusalem? Well, I've touched on this before. It is because Jerusalem, the city, is the temple. No matter where the tabernacle sat, the area around it was holy. At the times of the offerings, when people were to eat their portion, they were required to eat within a certain distance of the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle stood at Shiloh, or Shiloh, for 325 years. And if you've ever been to that site in Israel, you will see mountains all around it. Offerers could eat their offerings on those mountains as long as the tabernacle was within their eyesight. When the tabernacle was replaced with the permanent temple, the walled city around Jerusalem became the confines within which offerers must eat their offerings. The most important time of year for people to be present and eat their offerings before Yahweh was at Passover. Ovens were set throughout the city so that people could take their offered lamb to an oven and then wait for 2 hours while it roasted. They would then return to the oven to retrieve their lamb and go eat with their family all inside the walls of Jerusalem. This is important for understanding that Jerusalem, the city, has been Yahweh's temple since it became the place of his name. The temple edifice, the place where the sacrifices were done and all the priestly rituals were done, was destroyed, as Yeshua said that it would be, as his prophecy about that he spoke about the buildings in Mark 13:2, when he said, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone on another, which will not be thrown down." He was talking about the sanctuary and its outer buildings, not the city of Jerusalem. Today, believers think that since the temple is not there now, why go for the feasts? They don't understand that they can still go to the temple, the city of Jerusalem. They simply cannot sacrifice there since the temple and the sacrificial system is not there after the temple's fall in 68 to 70 AD. The New Jerusalem, though, is the coming capital of Israel and the whole earth, but there will not be a separate temple structure inside. Rather, the whole city will be understood to be the temple in a way that has not been understood until now. But what's more is that Almighty God and the Lamb are the temple. They are the temple made without hands that we, his people, his congregation, are like. That's why I'm saying the congregation is one of the temples made without hands. Yeshua's immortal body that was made without hands, we will be like him. We are collectively going to be like him. We will be raised as part of that temple system, which is made without hands, and we will be able to be near them without the separating walls and curtains that were part of the two tabernacles and the four temples that two of which have to still be built. We know this is true because John saw no separating walls or curtains, and he spoke of Yahweh's people being on the inside where God and the Lamb are. We will be able to do this because we will finally have become fully in Yeshua's image, and it won't kill us to be near the Father and Son in their full glory. This has been a kingdom concept teaching. Concepts are foundational to our further understanding, training, and our trying to qualify to be Order of Melchizedek priests. We belong to an interdependent, interconnected, and complete system that Yahweh created for his and our benefit. And it is an honor and blessing to understand these things.